Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah the 18th chapter. And we, the choir's been working on the song, The Potter's Hands, and sang that this morning. And the times we've been working on it, I had never sung that song before. I probably have heard it before, but the words just have been speaking to my heart. And so I wrote a message tonight called The Potter's Hands, Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. And just was such a powerful truth when you think about the potter's hands and how it applies to you and I. So I hope you'll listen carefully tonight. Let God speak to your heart as we talk about the potter's hands. Jeremiah 18, verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." And of course, I believe not just the house of Israel, but you and I as Christians, those of us that are saved, we are clay in the hands of the potter, the potter's hands. Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts tonight and give us what we need from your word. I pray you'll guide us into the truth of the scriptures. Your Holy Spirit will give us what we need as far as conviction and whatever decisions need to be made on our part, that we might be better Christians, that we might be better servants for you, that we might become the vessel fit for the master's use. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God so many times uses common, simple things to teach really very deep lessons. And I love that about the Lord Jesus and his messages. He would tell stories that were so simple, so easy to understand, and yet the truths were very, very deep spiritual truths. And here he told Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And very, very clearly, he had a lesson for him to learn. He had something to show him, and he told him to go to the potter's house, not to seminary, not to a seminar, not to a conference, but he had a lesson in a very common place, the potter's house. And he went, and Jeremiah watched the potter make a vessel. And a potter in those days may make a cup, he may make a bowl, he would make some type of a vessel out of clay, and he would watch that potter as he would take that lump of clay, which was just a lump of clay. It was nothing fancy. It just started out as a chunk of earth, if you will, and he would watch that potter in the methods that he would use and adding water and everything, and put that lump of clay on the wheels, and that would spin, and he would use his hands to form that into whatever type of vessel he was trying to make. And he would watch as the potter maybe would start to form that, and there would be a line where it wasn't supposed to be. And sure enough, that potter would stop the wheels, and he would look, and there would be just a little piece of grit, a little piece of a sand or stone or something that would cause that as that spins, that a line to form or some type of a blemish in that wasn't right, and he would have to take that little piece and throw it aside and then start over again and make that into the vessel that he wanted. And of course, the potter would have many, many vessels he would make, maybe for his own use or perhaps to sell at the market. And so Jeremiah watched, and God spoke to his heart and spoke to him about the potter's hands. And he compared it to Israel and compared it to, and I think, our lives. As God is making us what he wants us to be, sometimes there will be that little bit of grit. There will be that impurity. There will be whatever it is that is going to deform the vessel, and it's going to stop that vessel from being a vessel fit for the master's use. And the potter, the Lord, has to get rid of whatever that is, whatever that impurity, whatever that blemish, whatever that piece of grit or whatever. And in our case, we know that would be sin. And you know, sin is what's going to keep us from being the vessel God wants us to be. Do you want to be what God wants you to be tonight? Do you want to be used by God in the greatest way you can be used? The only way then is just let the potter make you. And let him form you. And let him be the potter, just like the Lord, and making us a vessel fit for the master's use. And so there's some important thoughts to consider, because we're a lot like this. We're so much like this. And I found some just some wonderful truths in the passage and through the song that we sang. Number one, I want you to see the person. The person. And obviously, we are represented here by the clay. And that's where we come from. I mean, we're just dirt, you know. When we start talking about dirt and we think about the clay, you know, any clay, just all clay, all kinds of clay. I would venture to say that as a potter worked with clay, there always was some kind of impurity in the clay, and he would have to stop and he would have to maybe start over again. It seems to be kind of a common thing. Never working with pottery, I just think that is probably true. And certainly that's true with you and I. There's not a lump of clay that's perfect. Not a lump of clay that has everything going right for it. Any clay, all clay, and that's all we are, is clay. Obviously, the house of Israel is the illustration here. And when they were in bondage, you know, because of their sin, they were not being used. But then God is saying, I want to use you. God is saying, because of your sin, I couldn't use you, but I want to use you. And we're the same way. We're like that clay. We're like that lumpy mass, and we've been dug out of a pit of sin. And literally, as a lost person, we're worthless. By the way, clay would be worth under $2. You know, just a lump of clay, a lump of earth. Our chemical makeup, I understand, is worth about just under $2. You know, we're without him, we're nothing. We're just a lump of clay. You sit here tonight and you say, well, I'd like to do something for God. Then he says to you, cannot I do with you as this potter? God says, can't I? Okay, you can't just be a lump of clay. I want to make you something. Ephesians 2 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He says, I want to mold you. I want to make you. I want you to be, by the way, he's not just talking to a child here. I mean, a lot of older folks would say, well, yes, amen. That's these young people, they need, we need that. You're not done being made. God has something for everybody to do. Can't I do with you as this potter? Can't I make you what I want you to be? And you see, the clay, understand, just sitting, it can't make itself. It's just a lump of clay. How many people are content to just be that lump of clay and never, ever be what God wants them to be? I mean, Christians, you're just that lump of clay. You know, I think of all the folks that skipped church. I think of all the folks that you know, they got saved and maybe they went to church for a while. Maybe they got baptized and then they just kind of drop away. And it's like, it's just like the potential is there. I mean, if you think about pottery and you think about a beautiful vase, or you think about a beautiful or a vase, amen, or you think about a bowl, or you think of a glass, or whatever it may be, nothing is more important than anything else in God's use. And you think about what that lump of clay could be. Boy, it ought to get you excited. It ought to get you excited to come to church, because all of this is part of the potter and his hands making you what he wants you to be. But clay can't mold itself. We must trust the potter and his hands to make us what we need to be. Only then can we be made into what God wants us to be. If you're here tonight and your attitude is one that, you know, I don't care. I just want to get by. I'm a Christian. Maybe you're a young person. You have to come to church because your parents make you. Or maybe you're an adult that just kind of goes through all the motions and everything. You really don't care. Hey, listen to me. You need to get upset about the idea that you're just going to be a lump of clay the rest of your life. And you need to say, oh, God, make me what you want me to be. The person. We're just clay. Any clay. All clay. Any kind of clay. Number one, the person. Number two is the process. The process. In verse 3, it says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the wheels spin. And they have a way of spinning so that those hands are able to mold and to shape and to make that clay into whatever he wants it to be. And I believe that the process is God's working in our lives. I believe that that God wanted Jeremiah to see that spinning around of that clay on those wheels was the process that God would use to make Israel what it needed to be. And by the way, it isn't always a fun process. It wasn't always a fun process for Israel. Certainly, it's not always a fun process for us. But if you're going to make a lump into something beautiful, it can't be a fun process. There's a lot of edges that have to be knocked off. There's a lot of impurities that have to come out. There's a lot that goes into it. Can you trust the potter's hands? Again, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good. And I promise you, a lump of clay going on those wheels and getting molded, it didn't always feel good. It wasn't always fun. It couldn't possibly just always be a wonderful experience. And certainly that lump of clay would not end the day after being turned on the wheels saying, wow, I feel good. But it's not about our feeling. It's not about what all's fun. It's about, I want to be a vessel fit for the Master's use. I want God to use me. And so those wheels turning that's the circumstances in our lives that make us what we need to be. You know, we gripe and we complain about so many things, but it may be the exact thing. They got that corner shaved off. They got that top part rounded. That you know, again, try to envision a beautiful vase that has been shaped out of clay, and it didn't start that way. And you say, wow, that's beautiful. But you didn't see the process of shaping that thing and how difficult that was. And you look at lives. And I'm reminded that we so many times we come to a place and we look at for example, a Chuck Pearson, we say, well, what a good Christian man. But we don't recognize and realize that years and years and years and years he was turned on that wheel and shaped and molded. And it just wasn't always fun, was it, Chuck? It's not always fun. It's not always game. See, sometimes the shaping was a valley. Sometimes the shaping was a sickness. Sometimes the shaping was a disappointment. Sometimes the shaping was a relationship that didn't go the way you thought it would. Sometimes the shaping was a financial problem. Sometimes it was a reversal. Sometimes it was just sorrow and heartache and pain. But all of it was important. And can you trust the potter's hands? Can we trust the potter's hands? The wheels must turn for the vessel to be made. Otherwise, it's just a lump. The wheels have to turn and the hands have to be applied, or the vessel, it's just a lump. That's all it is. The things that happen in our lives, it's this roof right here, the roof leak. We have no idea. Now, I believe this. I believe if I'm still alive in 20 years, we'll talk about that roof leak. We'll look back and we'll say, that was an important time in the history of this church. Now, you don't see that. We don't see it now. Now we see plastic where the stairway is. Amen. Now we see meeting in the fellowship hall. Wait a minute, though. This church met in here years and years ago when there was no drop ceiling. This church met in there when there was no roof over the top. It was just the concrete. This church met in here when they had to fire up a stove, a wood-burning stove, or was it a coal stove? I don't remember which one it was. I've heard the story several times, but anyway, and they couldn't get it warm down here. They met in here when they tried to insulate the top of this, which all it was, it didn't have the auditorium above. It just was the concrete above here, and they put sawdust on top to try to warm things up. And it rained on the sawdust, and they had streaks going down the walls. And now they look back, and people like Clark and Chuck, boy, those were good times. Those were good times. Boy, God's good, isn't He? And they can rejoice over that now because it shaped Berean. Now, folks, I'm just telling you, these kinds of setbacks and the setbacks in your life and the what we would call the negative things, these are what make men, make women, make churches what they're supposed to be. It's not all fun. It's not all games. It's not supposed to be. You know, it's why a young person goes off to college. And, you know, one of the greatest things about college is it's tough. Amen. And they get this thing that is so foreign to them called a roommate. And it's like, these people are weird. You get used to a brother or a sister. Well, maybe you never get used to. I mean, I understand you guys with Paul. But you get used to a brother or sister. You get used to the people in your family. But then you get this thing called a roommate. And it's like, oh, I mean, that guy, his clothes are dirty. He doesn't use deodorant. He doesn't brush his teeth. And it's like, what am I going to do about this? You know, you're a highly organized creature, and you say, how's this supposed to help me? Oh, it'll help you. God will use it to help you. God will use. You know, I had to laugh when David went off to college, and you know, he's very set in his ways. He gets that from his mother, But I mean, it's like, Dad, my roommate, you know, he does this and he does this and he does. And I couldn't help but just kind of chuckle to myself and think, this is what you need. It's exactly what you need. And moms always say, no, it's not. It's terrible. Kick that other kid out. My son's perfect, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And we just have to kind of laugh. Now, look, you may be going through a rough spot, but that's that rough chunk of clay that's got to get ground down. It's got to get wore down. Trust the potter's hands. Trust the potter's hands. The wheels have to turn. Sickness has to come. Bad things have to take place. Valleys have to come. And even some deaths have to come and difficulties. But if those wheels don't turn, then you're just a lump of clay. And you'll never be the vessel you could be. It's so important. I watch people go through hard times. I've pastored now for over 30 years, and so I can remember some of the times they sat across from me and said, Pastor, I don't understand why this is happening. And I said, you know, I don't understand it either, but I know God has a reason, and there's something that's coming. And now I see that person grown up and serving God, and I remember that day when that thing happened, and I see, wow, that's why. That's why. I know that in my own life. That's why that happened. Wow, I never would have thought. But you don't have to think, folks. You just have to trust the potter's hands, who also controls the wheels spinning. Piece of dirt, sand, as those wheels turn, as that clay gets molded, there might be a chunk of a piece of dirt way down there, and you don't get to it until it's turned for a little while, and all of a sudden, right there in the middle of that clay, there's that piece of dirt. And again, if you can imagine the spinning of that clay and the hand on it, and once it touches that piece of dirt, all of a sudden, there's a line that's not supposed to be there. The potter has to stop, has to pull out that piece of dirt. Isn't that our lives right there? Isn't that us? Oh, I know on top there was probably a whole lot of dirt. I know in my life there was. I know that big old lump of clay, there was a lot of dirt, and probably the first time it was sat on the wheel, it was like, we have a big project ahead. But piece after piece after piece had to be cast aside, and then the work started. And then somewhere after about 40 or 50 spins and the potter's hands around the clay, oh, there's another piece of dirt, and we're going to have to get rid of that. And now we got to add some clay to that, and we've got to work on that. And then it spins again, maybe another 50 or 60 spins. And up, there's another. That's our life right there. But what I want to be that vessel. I want to be what God wants me to be. And I don't understand all these things that take place. And I don't understand. Do you understand? Many times the things that happen in our lives, it happens to show us that there's that impurity, that piece of dirt, that grit, that sand, that thing in my life. Well, I didn't realize that. Oh, that's going to ruin the vessel. Can I trust the potter? I should be able to. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's discouragement. Remember, the wheels are turning to make you what you ought to be. And sometimes it's those things. It's that relationship that went wrong. It's that terrible thing that happened in your life. And now you have a choice. As I preached recently, you can either get bitter or you can get better. And all of that is because the potter's hands, the wheels turn, circumstances happen. And the Lord says, oh, here's something here. Here's something that's not that isn't good. And he wants to get rid of it for you so you can be that vessel. Again, try to imagine that beautiful vase. Try to imagine that beautiful pot that's been formed, that beautiful jar, whatever it may be. Number one, we see the person. Number two, we see the process. Number three is the potter. The Lord is the potter. It says in verse 6, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? He said, I'm the potter. Can't I do this? Hey, the potter loves us. We are his workmanship. He has every right to make us whatever he wants us to be. We are his workmanship. He loves us. Hey, I would much rather be a cup for the Lord than a lump. I would much rather be a bowl for Jesus than a lump. Wouldn't you? Oh, I'm just satisfied. Why, you can't bring glory to God as a lump. But you could as a cup. You could as a vase. You could as a bowl. You could as whatever he needs you to be. He loves us. He controls the wheels. The potter had a way to make the wheels spin and could have been with his feet pumping or something like that, and he controls all of that. There's nothing in our lives that is chance or luck. Nothing. We joke around about luck, but we know there isn't any such thing as luck. God is in control. If the lot is in the hand of God, and if it's turning one way or the other is dependent on God, that means my day is in the hand of God. Amen. My month is in the hand of God. Last winter was in the hand of God. Amen. He controls it all. Hey, you know, when the Lord sent the disciples, how many times did he send the disciples to the other side of the sea, of the lake? He sent them to the other, go to the other side. And what happened in the middle? A storm. Often. Over and over. Oh, we're just having a bad streak of luck. Who sent you? Who's the master of the sea? Who sent you? Who knew? And it came to pass. Study it sometime. And it came to pass. Now, I know it means, well, it came to pass, but I think it also means it came for the purpose of passing. We certainly could say that about a rain shower. It had a purpose, didn't it? The purpose was to rain, to help the grass grow so that we could go out and mow it. Oh. But it came to pass. It came with a purpose of passing. And storms in our lives, sometimes they come with a purpose of passing, because that storm is going to reveal whatever it is in my life that's going to keep me from being the vessel. Maybe the neck, it needs to be one of those long neck jar kind of a things, you know? And you get right about here and start to squeeze a little bit tighter and mold that a little bit more narrow. And there's a chunk right there of dirt. Yeah, I don't want that there. That'll stop the process. So maybe that's the thing that had to happen in my life, that storm, that trial, to make me the vessel that I need to be for the Lord. He controls the wheels, but He also holds the vessel. Aren't you glad John chapter 10 is in the Bible? We are in His hands. Amen. I praise the Lord. He holds the vessel. By the way, notice, and I know Jeremiah had to notice this, that when the potter came to the marred vessel, he didn't take the clay and just go, "Oh, yuck," and throw it away. Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't throw you away? Yeah, we're in His hands. We can be assured that He's not interested in throwing us out. He just wants to make us the right vessel. If He has to start over, He has to start over. He wants us to be the vessel that He has, that is His purpose for your life. And His purpose, obviously, is to make us the very best possible use of a lump of clay that can take place. Does anybody do ceramics or pottery? Anybody ever do that at all? All right. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I did some of that stuff. And of course, I made Mom this one thing. And to me, it looked, but I remember Mom going, "Oh, that is the most beautiful thing." I mean, I'm not sure she knew what it was. You say, "What was it?" I'm not sure I knew what it was. It's somewhere in a box somewhere. I know Mom, she kept all that, and then my sister sent it to me. But you know, it's like, wow, that is beautiful. Do you understand that when you are made what God wants you to be, the vessel that God wants you to be, He doesn't make junk. Do you understand how that brings glory to God? And how somebody may say, "You know, you've really changed. Wow, you really, boy, that was a great lesson you taught in Sunday school. Wow, that was a wonderful song. You know, I've watched your life, and you sure are a good Christian. Now, you seem to be doing real well for the Lord." And that brings glory to God. Because, you know, what was I? I was just a lump of clay. Dirty, old clay. I mean, if God could use us, isn't that amazing? Amen. Totally amazing. To make us the very best possible. Notice 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, to me, that's kind of like the vessel being made and put in the furnace so that it gets hard. And you know, it's like God, you know, all of that is part of that process, that He makes us what we ought to be and what we need to be. And Philippians 1 and verse 6 tells us He's going to finish His work. Amen. The potter, He loves you. Shouldn't we trust the potter's hands? I'm saddened by so many Christians when, you know, the first time there's an obstacle, the first time there's a problem, the first time there's a trial, or maybe it's the third time there's a problem. Maybe it's the fifth time. Maybe it's the 20th time. And we're getting down into the clay, and there's always going to be that little piece that has to be removed and then has to be dealt with. And I get it's sad. I watch so many Christians say, "You know what? Fooey on that. I'm tired of those wheels turning. I'm tired of all these things happening." Oh, my friend, listen. Let God make you what He wants you to be. Because verse 4, it says the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. It gets marred because of the grit. It gets marred because of different things. Remember, the impurities of the clay come out as the circumstances take place. And by the way, though it may be marred and you may be marred, you're still in His hand. The problem is never with the hand. The problem is with the clay. We just all have problems. Every one of us. Do you know what growth is as a Christian? Seriously, here's what growth is. Growth is simply problems being revealed to us. That's growth. Let me come back to that. I'll come back to that, and I'm just about done. You know, here's a problem. Maybe the clay's too soft. Okay, and maybe it falls apart and everything. God wants you to be strong in the Lord. Maybe you just need to get more solid in what you believe and get more grounded in the Word of God. Maybe the clay is too hard and it can't be molded because we're so stubborn. You know, I don't know. But mostly I think of that clay with dirt in it and some kind of impurity in it, some kind of sin. And whatever it is, growth is when that problem is revealed to us and we do something about it. Honestly, most of church service, that's what it's about. We talk about, obviously we have church here to be a shining light to try to win people to Christ. But again, if the light doesn't shine bright, it's our own fault because of sin in our lives. And so we simply need to recognize that, okay, I'm going to come to church. You ought to always come to church saying, "God, help me grow. Show me what I need to do. Show me some sin in my life or a problem in my life. Reveal it to me." I counsel with a lot of people. And in fact, this just came up, and it's very interesting. Somebody, you've been saved for years and years, and you say, why do these things keep happening in my life? Why do I keep finding more sin in my life and all of that? And is it because I'm just such a bad Christian? I submit to you this. I think it's because you're a good Christian. Now, what do you mean? Well, because I think Paul was a good Christian. Look at Romans 7. In fact, I believe Paul was one of the best Christians. Romans chapter 7, I've had to deal with it for years and years, remembering the first time I read it, and the sentence structure is such, I had no clue what in the world God was trying to say. But I understood the gist of it, and it was the Apostle Paul being very frustrated with the fact that he's a sinner. And being frustrated Paul was one who would say, "God, I want to be used by you. I want you to make me whatever you want me to be." But here's what he says in verse 18, Romans 7. "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." So again, what's God have to work with? Well, He has to work with a lump of flesh that has no good thing. It's got to be constantly worked on. And by the way, you and I all have problems with the flesh. Every one of us. And he says, "For to will," and I have that in parentheses in my Bible, "for to will is present with me." What's he saying? He says, "I want to do right. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." He said, "I want to do right." Now watch this. "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." That is the testimony of any Christian who wants to do right. It is the testimony of any Christian who says, I want to please the Lord. Somebody comes, they say, Pastor, I constantly am failing. No, listen to me. You've recognized it. You're not failing as long as you recognize it and you do something about it. The people that are failing are people that think everything's all right and they're just a lump. And they have no idea. They've not grown. They've not been to an altar. They've not fallen on their knees. They've not gotten things right with God in years and years and years. And they fail to recognize that there's the Apostle Paul, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And as the wheels turn, God brings out those things that are in my flesh. Because I want to be a vessel that God can use. And so he says, notice what verse 21 says. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now listen to me. That is not difficult to understand. He said, here's the law right here. He says, whenever I want to do good, evil's present. If you want to do evil, then you don't recognize evil. If you're doing bad, you don't recognize bad. You just kind of go on your way and you just remain a lump. But it's somebody that says, I want to do good. I want to please you, God. I want to do your will, God. And then you look into the face of God Almighty and you recognize, I'm still flesh. I'm still sinful. But you get on your face before God and you say, clean me up, God. Cleanse me, God. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we want to do right, you understand, God will show you the impurity. Don't let that frustrate you. Just get it right. Don't let that get you down. Don't let it, well, I just keep struggling with this same thing. That's because you want to do right. There are people that are living, you know, they're Christians, they're saved, but their lifestyle, you'd never know it. And they just kind of go on and do their thing. And you may be sitting here like that right now. And it's like, oh, I don't see any problem with the Christian life. I'm just kind of getting along. And I'll have somebody that says, you know, why isn't it like that with me? Because just like Paul, when I would do good, evil is present with me. It's because I want to do right. And so I recognize the evil. And I recognize my sinful nature. Oh, yeah. To be right with God, I've got to see that piece of dirt. I've got to let the potter deal with that piece of dirt. I've got to let the wheels turn. I've got to trust the potter's hands. I've got to let him reveal that weakness, that sin, that resistance, whatever it is. The potter's hand can feel whatever impurity or resistance that is there, and he can feel it. And as long as I'm willing and I want to do right, hey, I should never and I will not resist the potter's hand. Because I want to be that vessel. I want to be used by God. And Paul simply says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And Paul said this, just like you are thinking often about yourself, oh, wretched man that I am. And the guy, the girl, the man, the woman that reads their Bible, that spends time with God, the result should always be, oh, wretched man that I am. Isaiah said, when I saw the Lord, I said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips. And if you don't see the Lord, you never realize that impurity is marring the vessel. And you never let the potter make you what you need to be. The potter progress. Number five is the potential. And it's just such a simple question that he asks in verse 6. Cannot I do with you as this potter? Cannot I? Why don't we yield? We talk all the time about surrendering to God, but it becomes talk. It becomes talk. Little resistance to the wheel spinning, and we say, I don't want that. I don't like it. I don't like that sorrow. I don't like that hurt. I don't like that problem. I don't want that. God says, but there's a piece of grit I need to get. There's something that's going to deform you as a vessel. God says, I want you to be perfect. Yeah, but I don't like it. I'm done. I'm tired. I can't take it. The potential is to hear him say, well done. The potential is to be used by God. He says, cannot I make you again? Can I deal with that dirt? Can I deal with that sin? I made it possible. My son died on the cross. His blood was shed. You can confess. You can be clean. You can be a vessel fit for the master's use. Cannot I? It says, so he made it again another vessel. And here's the words, as seemed good to the potter to make it. As seemed good to the potter. We are so rebellious sometimes. I don't like it. I don't want it. He wants to make you better. He just wants to make you better all the time. You say, well, I've failed. Then let God make you not fail. Amen. Yeah, but I blew it. Yeah, I understand. And praise God. That's what a potter does. He's able to make that clay whatever he wants it to be. And recognition that you blew it, recognition that we failed, that's victory. As long as you get it right with the Lord and let him make you what he wants you to be. His will should be the most important thing. The wheels of life, they spin and they spin. And it's up to us. What are you going to do? Can you trust the potter's hands? Can you trust the potter and his hands as he molds you, as he makes you, as he forms you, as he fashions you? As he knows what the result's going to be. But you say, I don't like this side being that way, or I don't like, you know, I want to have the be one of those long necked vase things. You know, just trust the Lord. Remember this, all we are without him is just a lump of clay. Amen. That's it. To be a beautiful vessel for the Lord, it takes the potter's hands and the wheels spinning circumstances in life to make that vessel what it ought to be.